It's a manic Monday, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. There's once upon a time where you would love to have been the Orioles general manager when things were absolutely rolling and you looked like the smartest man in baseball. I still think he's one of the smartest men in baseball, but things aren't rolling right now. And when they're not, you got to answer questions. And on Friday, he answered a lot of questions that Michael Elias to the media.
With the starting rotation, having injuries, and also starting so poorly and putting us in a bad spot because of that, you know, it is difficult to contend with that level of injuries. But even that aside, you know, they've had a poor start, and, you know, that's my responsibility. And I'm in charge of baseball operations, and, you know, when we have a bad record to start the year, that's my responsibility. But we are all working very hard, and we have a lot of faith in this very talented group. And piece by piece, step by step, we're going to get guys healthier. We're going to get guys performing more to their norms. If there's something that we can fix with a player, we're working on that. And I'm very optimistic and confident that we have a lot better baseball ahead, and we're going to play like the way that we should be this season.
Now, some would say it sounds like he's giving excuses, but Ed, listen, man, I mean, injuries are not an excuse. It's a reason.
It's an explanation. I mean, it's legitimate. I mean, it goes for every sport. When you get decimated by injuries like they have, I mean, what do we expect? Like, what are the expectations when your entire pitching rotation is out? I mean, certainly your top three pitchers. I mean, you're talking about Eflin, Bradish, and Grayson. What are we talking about here? It's been devastating. And then Westberg's out now, and, you know, Reyes is on the DL for a little bit, or IL, whatever it is now. It's one thing, you know, everyone has bumps and bruises during the season, but this has been, you know, unusual. And it's not an excuse. It's a reason. I love when people, they ask a question of someone, you know, what, then the answer is this. It's like, oh, he's just making excuses. It's not. It's a legitimate answer to your question. That's it.
Well,
Jeremy Kahn?
Yeah, look, I've said this before, and I don't expect people to agree with me. I keep getting called a homer and all these other things, and, but when you look at it, honestly, look at it, injuries are the reason that they're playing this poorly. Now, could they have not been hurt and played poorly? Sure. But people are looking for anything to take that victory lap to say, I told you so, even though, you know, hey, if you wanted him to sign Blake Snell, guess what? He's hurt. If you wanted him to sign Corbin Burns, guess what? He's hurt. Hell, even Garrett Crochet took a fastball off his nose last night, a 100-some-mile-an-hour line drive back at him that clipped his nose, and he stayed in the game. Garrett Crochet was the guy, but we don't know what the asking price was. But some Oriole fans will go, it doesn't matter. I'm not paying. Max Fried's pitching great right now. I'm not paying him for eight years.
Especially pitching. You know, and everyone, calling, you know, pitching matters, postseason pitching matters, pitching. Well, it's true. I mean, you look at the Orioles, they're at the very bottom of the league. Rockies, Orioles, Marlins, worst ERAs in the league, all over five. You know who the best are? Padres, Mets, Tigers. Where are those teams? Division leaders now. I mean, you know, 22, 23 win teams. It's like, it matters a lot. And all you have to do is look at it.
Give me your favorite show. You probably like that show because of the star, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that star is out, is that still your favorite show? The show's probably different. You take Will Smith off the Fresh Prince because maybe he was sick for a year, he had surgery, and all of a sudden everybody else tries to do the show. They're good, but now everybody's trying to step up to be Will Smith. And they can't because they're role players.
Mm-hmm.
They're co-stars. Show may not be the same.
Well, I
you
mean, put,
you bring Will Smith
can
back.
Give you the perfect example.
Go ahead.
So Roseanne was around for years, right?
There you go.
They relaunched the show. She said some political stuff. They killed her off the show. It's her show. Yep. I mean, they changed the name of the show to The Conners now,
right?
Which it still fits, but like, I don't know. I think the show was still successful.
It wasn't the same.
It's nowhere near the same. And that's the problem I have is like when you're looking at the Orioles. People want to be right more than they want the team to win. I mean, I'm seeing people saying it's just not fun watching this brand of baseball, and I agree with you. It's not fun watching this. This has been nonsense. But what team loses all those pitchers, and you named all the hitters, you started off the season without your best hitter, and then he's still coming back. Like, it's just, it's crazy to me when you look at it and people go, oh, it's not, I don't want to hear injuries. Then what do you want to hear? You want me to hear that you just want to hear you're right? Is that what you want to hear?
You're right. I'll just go back to the TV thing.
Yeah.
2.5 Men when Charlie Sheen.
There you go. Perfect. That actually happened. That show wasn't the same. I like Ashton Kutcher. I like him. He's a good guy.
Me too.
But he's not Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen was
at the Diddy parties. He might not be a good guy.
Yeah, how about that?
It was just a different show.
It was.
It was not nearly the same show.
Wasn't as funny. Wasn't as quick-witted, in my opinion. Because Charlie Sheen was very quick-witted. I mean, he had an answer before you finished what you were saying. And that's what I love about
perfect ass hat.
He's just
you know, that guy. And the whole show changed and didn't make any sense.
The show became nicer.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as edgy. Mm. Well, look at this lineup right now. Look at all the people. Look at this rotation. Well, you're missing Charlie Sheen and all these other guys. So, yeah, these guys, they can do what they do, but they can't do what the other guys who are injured do. They weren't supposed to. They weren't signed to do that. They're all just Band-Aids. You know, that's what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And they're not good enough to fill those. You got to have a number one, and you got to have a number two, and you got to have a number three. Those three guys are injured right now. So who's your number one? You don't have anybody. You don't have no one on your – Eflin's good enough to pose for number one while Bradish is recovering.
You know what?
Because I'm sorry, I don't care what you guys say that are listening. Kyle Bradish is the number one. You say anything you want – that kid is a number one.
How'd they get him? You remember? No. Anyway, I'm just.
Go ahead, tell us.
No.
Tell us.
We get to all these points when trades come down, and people are like, "Oh, he can't make good trades." We're going to talk about Kyle Stowers in a little bit, where everybody's going off over the weekend. You got to let stuff play out. And by the way, I'm not one of those guys. Just so I sound like I'm right, there was no place for Kyle Stowers here with the Orioles. The only way he was getting an opportunity was somebody to get hurt. And then he Wally Pips him. He gets in there and hits the hell out of the ball. He struggled when he went down to Miami. He's hitting great now. Norby's, hurt still, I believe. And when you look at the Marlins, he's going to be given every opportunity to prove that he doesn't belong in a lineup. He was never going to get that here. But I still want him to be successful. I hope the kid has a great career. But it's one of those things where, again, people are going to come to you and say, I told you this was going to happen. They didn't sign this guy. They didn't sign that guy. Well, tell me the guys right now, because when you look around the league, a lot of those pitchers got hurt. I'm listening to people when they talk about Pivetta, Eovaldi, you know, some of those guys that you could have brought in, but I think they felt comfortable with what they had in weathering the storm until Bradish got back.
Bradish was such a steal. I forgot how they got him. They traded freaking Dylan Bundy, and Kyle Bradish came in that package.
Who traded Dylan Bundy?
2019, Michael Eyes.
Okay.
I forgot who they traded. I knew he came here via trade. I'm like, who did they trade him for?
So there are two best.
Kyle Bradish. They got Kyle Bradish, Kyle Brnovich, Zach Peake, and Isaac Mattson. Those other three guys don't matter. They got Kyle Bradish.
Yeah, they said, thanks for coming out, guys.
Kyle Bradish ended up being better than Dylan Bundy ever was.
Yeah.
So, again, he ended up being what they thought they had in Dylan Bundy.
I know I sound like the total optimist and this homer or whatever, but I think I'm a realist when you look at it. The reason's there why they're this bad. It's injuries. That you may not like that answer,
but it is.
That's the answer.
We got some calls on hold. Mike Borda going to join us at 8:45. We're going to take your calls on the other side. 410-583-1057, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:18 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike Elias spoke to the media on Friday and took some responsibility for how the season has started. With all of that being said, are you willing to accept that? He talked about the injuries as well, which I don't know how he takes responsibility for that. Let's go to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
All right. I'm willing to accept it. My only thing was just I thought that he could have went harder in the offseason to get something better than Morton. But, you know, I guess I don't know what – people were asking for the better pitchers.
I mean, Morton was a fallback option at the end.
Had the injuries at the beginning of the season.
It's not like they signed him before all these other guys were signed. It was, you know, there were some names out there. But at the end, we're going, what are they picking up at this point? And then they brought in Charlie Morton. I was surprised at the money they gave him. He got himself a bag for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing, though, like I said, I've given the benefit of the doubt, you know, lies because of the injuries. But some of the now, y'all are the experts, the so-called experts, but it's not just fans. No, it's not just fans, but some of y'all peers, y'all expert peers, Let me
explain something to you. This is the most misled thing there is. You're not an expert because you have an opinion. You know what I mean? You may be an insider. You may be something like that. But who's an expert because they have an opinion? People who come off as experts because they have an opinion, those are the frauds. We have an opinion. My opinion is based on I'm with the team more than most, but it's still only my opinion. My opinion on the Ravens is based on what I see. So this whole expert thing, you know, come on. We're professionals. We're pros. But who's an expert at opinions?
What my opinion is, and I think it's an opinion, say we picked up the best pitcher in the, you know, say you picked up Crochet. If he's, you know, if people are going to point to him, how much better would this team be right now with him? I don't see it. Maybe a couple more wins. It's not the difference. You need a whole pitching staff. I mean, that's not going to change the fortunes of the team. It doesn't make him a World Series contender.
And for people saying it, too, like they had 10 starters at the beginning of the season. They were down to 3. All those guys got hurt. They had 12 options in the minor leagues, and 6 of them got hurt. Like, you know, potential options, I would say. There's a lot of injuries going on. People don't want to accept it as a reason. It is the first reason you should be giving of why this team is bad. I wanted you to re-sign Corbin Burns, and you didn't. That's what everybody was screaming, right?
Yeah.
Now Corbin Burns is hurt and out for a while, and he's got his strikeout rate is dropping significantly. Is anybody saying anything now? I'm not even saying they were right for not signing him because of that, what's going on right now. But that was one of the reasons, Rob, you and I said, hey, I don't know about signing this guy to a long-term deal because his strikeout rate is dropping.
All the numbers are dropping. All the numbers that suggest he's that dude were dropping.
And even with them dropping, he's still a good pitcher. Just not maybe worth 40-some million a year.
All those years that he asked for.
Yeah. And you got to look at some of the moves they made that people were outraged about, like Tony Tater. He's batting he's got an on-base percentage of .267.
Yep.
Like, you know, maybe they do know what they're doing.
Let's go to Centerville and get Steve. What's up, Steve?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
I don't know if we're jinxed or not. The dumb fan question is, you know, what's the time in the calendar, the schedule for the season where this is really becomes critical? I just read that two of the ball girls need Tommy John surgery and both bat boys failed a steroid test. So at what point in the calendar is it like, okay, no crap. This is a problem. And I'll listen off there. Thanks.
Well, here I'm trying to look at again, it's way too early to be looking at anything. The Orioles are 5 games out of the playoff picture. It's May. Yeah. Like again,
not now. That'd be my answer.
You know, at what point when they get near the trade deadline and they go, do we have a shot to make it, or do we just bite the bullet and move some pieces we're not keeping?
Let's go to Baltimore and get Marcus. What's up, Marcus?
Darling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Exactly. Doing well.
Working down there presents like a different fan delusion than anything. Like coming to like the stadium every day and like hearing my coworkers say, oh, we're not making the playoffs this year. I'm like, it's kind of early. You ought to be saying that. But my question is, like, do you guys think after we get back Bradish, Eflin, I have major air quotations in the air right now when I say Grayson Rodriguez. You think that's enough for us to get over a pitching hump? Because I know pitching is our major issue. And the what was the guy that we picked up as a reliever? Like when we get all those back, do you get all those back? Do y'all think that will be enough? Or
see, I don't know, Marcus, because just when you say pitching is the issue, I would tell you that Saturday – hitting was the issue. I think every night there seemed to be a different issue with this team. Pitching wasn't the issue Friday night. Also, when they gave up no runs and scored 3 runs. 3 runs was a problem. Thank God they gave up none. So then when you fast forward to Sunday, pitching's the issue. So in 2 out of 3 games, offense was the issue. They just got lucky on Friday because they gave up no runs. So I'm not sitting here and telling you that pitching is the issue.
And how about this? We talked about it this morning, Rob. The Texas Rangers fired their hitting coach, sent Jake Berger down, released Tavares.
Yeah.
Somebody can get him for like 4-point-something million. I don't know if you want him. They're doing all these things. Why? Because they have the 3rd-best ERA in baseball, and they can't hit for squat.
Exactly.
Now, Corey Seager's been out for a while, and he just came back. Maybe that'll help. They actually have a new leadoff hitter because Marcus Semien turned into trash. So I don't know, man. Like, you look at those teams. What happens if all that pitching comes back and the hitting's still not working? Should they have went out and got more bats?
remains to be seen. Let's go to Tim and Glen Burnie before we go to the break. What's up, Tim?
Morning, fellas. How's it going?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Good. So I totally agree. The first answer should be injuries when asked why this team this is
right
the way it is. But also, I just can't get past the fact the Orioles have been shut out 5 games this year.
Exactly.
So there needs there. You know, there's also an answer there with, you know, not just injuries. There's also we're not hitting the ball, and you know,
well, so
it is
let
what
me
it
say
is.
This though. What bats would they have been going after in the offseason outside of the only thing we were talking about was could you make your team better? We talked about Bregman going to third base, and then you jostle your lineup and where guys are playing, and there were rumors of Holiday possibly going to the outfield. Now,
I didn't, but some people wanted Paul Goldschmidt. I think a big part of Paul Goldschmidt's success is number 99.
Oh, there's no question. But, like, again, the bat that they didn't get, Santander, who everybody wanted, he's not hitting. Tyler O'Neill, they got him. He got hurt, just like he always does. But they got him on the cheap. I mean, when you look at what they paid for him, and I know people don't care about what you're paying for someone, but at some point,
you got to care.
They're going to bite the bullet and spend. They're going to have to, because I think Rubenstein's going to tell them they have to.
I think Tim, to Tim's defense, and if I can speak for Tim, he's kind of doing what I just did. I'm not saying they should have signed anybody. I'm just telling you it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, and I think that's kind of where Tim was coming from. I'm not saying I would, as anybody I would have signed, but I'm telling you the guys that I expected to produce are not producing.
Yes. And the reason you believe that is because it's true, because the same people that are here now that were here last season when they had the second most run scored in the season right after the Yankees. They were the most prolific run-scoring team in the American League, except for New York.
And
so why would you think differently when the same people came back?
Well, I was going to say to you, Robin, so far, like, how many different guys in this lineup have missed? Mm-hmm. How many guys do you expect to be part of your lineup missed a portion of time because of an injury?
True, true.
Most of them.
Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45 to weigh in on this, but on the other side. Speaking of bats, Kyle Stowers. Man, he's impressed so far. Do you regret that trade? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Swinging a ball, lifted in the air, deep left center field. Stowers, no way! A walk-off grand slam. This kid is unconscious.
No way did he do that.
That's courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network, and they said Kyle Stowers is on fire. Man.
He's had 2 games in the past week with multi-homers. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We know he's got some pop in his bat.
We knew that.
The big question is, can he be consistent? He's going to get every opportunity to show Miami that he can or can't do it, but, man, he's had a hell of a week.
He has. And like I said, he's been on fire.
He had a couple of walk-offs, including that walk-off grand slam, just in some big spots. Again, like, the thing I go back to is, for people that wanted him here, over who at the time? Not now. Don't tell me now. Over who at the time?
Who's because hurt?
Kowser's hurt.
Okay, over him.
Over Kierstead?
Okay.
Are you putting him over Kierstead when you
no,
looked
I'm
at
not. The... I'm just, I'm just busting your chops, man. I think good. This goes back to this. When we get rid of someone, we want them to suck.
Yeah.
We don't want them to be good. The reason why you were able to trade them because they're good. That's it.
All it's right. In Miami, like every category.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a hard thing to do, though.
No, it's not.
And, I mean, however, which makes it even more impressive, honestly.
His numbers are real, though. Yeah, he's got a .387 on base percentage. He's got 6 home runs already. He's having a good season.
Well, he doesn't have any protection in the lineup. So that's why I'm saying, like, to me, it's even a little bit more impressive. But let the season play out before you start saying, oh, you made a mistake, you made a mistake. Maybe you did, but how would you know? How would you know that Kyle Stowers was going to turn into a stud if he continues going at this pace? I don't think he does. I think eventually he reverts back to what he is a decent outfielder.
Why are we talking about Kyle Stowers, but we're not talking about Joey Ortiz?
But now that he's kind of flamed out.
Yeah, we're not bringing that guy up.
No, remember last everybody year, told us it was a bad trade last year?
Yeah, because he could have played third base while Westberg was hurt.
Why does baseball have to be so tough sometimes to just talk about?
Like, the best thing about Kyle Stowers is that he looks like the blonde dude on Scooby-Doo. What's his name?
Shaggy?
Freddy.
Oh, Freddy?
Freddy's the preppy guy, right?
You think he looks like Fred?
I think he does.
I think he looks like the Happy Gilmore's caddy.
I think he looks like Freddy.
Is that one young golfer that also looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy?
Is it Zalatoris?
Yes, he looks like Will Zalatoris.
Yeah, looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy. Incline plane? No, you're wearing one shoe.
Well, no, that's his homeless caddy. They're two different guys.
I know. That's his buddy from when he grew up. Yeah. That's the you know who that is. That's the star of Grandma's Boy.
Ah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Yes. So.
But anyway, like, again, you're right, though. Like, fans.
He looks like Shaggy?
No, no. Fans want him to fail. Fans need people you traded away to fail, or guys that left here.
A validation.
They have to fail. Yeah. It's just.
Like, when you divorce her, you want her to marry a loser?
Mm-hmm.
And flame out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go all to Tony in Walbrook, who wants to talk about Mike Elias. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, what's going on? So I was at the game. Usually when I'm at the game, I hear a lot of people complain about Elias a lot. So my question to y'all is, because someone brought something that was very curious to me. If we get to the trade deadline and we're kind of like, you know, borderline between bad and good, and we become sellers moving forward, do we look at Elias as a failure?
If Mike Elias becomes a seller with a bunch of under 30-year-olds, yes, he's a failure. Absolutely, he's a failure, and he should be fired. If he sells off a bunch of under 30-year-olds who haven't reached their full potential yet, yeah.
But is it different this year with all the injuries? Like, is that
does who's
that
he matter? Selling, Jeremy? Yeah, who's he selling? That's my exactly. point. Who's he going to sell?
The only players that I imagine them trading if they ended up being sellers would be Mullins, Mountcastle, maybe an O'Neal. But
didn't we come into the season expecting those guys to get traded?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, so that's not selling to me. That's just doing what we expected to do. Those guys are on expiring contracts, and they may not have a future. To me, selling is, man, you can get rid of a Westberg. You're going to get rid of a Jackson Holiday. That's selling. To me, you're replenishing yourself by, I don't want – Mullins is not part of my future, therefore I'm going to trade him. Mountcastle not part of my future. That's not selling. That's replenishing a farm system that went from being perennial top three to now they've fallen off a bit because all of those number one prospects are now in the majors. So Ed, what's your definition of selling?
Selling is when you're desperate. You're just giving away guys to, you know, the stocky farm system.
Yeah.
You're in a rebuild.
I mean, you're starting over, yeah.
You're starting over. I mean, I don't have any idea why that would happen here.
Yeah, so if he trades off these guys, these young guys – who's still arrows pointing up? Yeah. Then I'm looking at Elias sideways. Like, what was that?
I still want to go back to Mark DeRosa saying the window's closing. That might be the dumbest thing I've heard one of these.
That also might be the most critical I've ever heard Ryan Ripken. Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, because it's blatantly false. It's stupid. Is what it is.
Yeah. I think he wanted to say that.
You don't have a payroll. You're not spending money like the other teams are. You've got all these young players. Like, why would the window be closed? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's too many, and people, somebody got on me by talking about results driven and not understanding what I mean. Just because you win a game or something happens in your favor doesn't mean you're doing it the right way. And we've talked about this. How about the kid in the basketball game that you don't want shooting threes, hits his first three? What's that mean? He's going to shoot more of them now. That's not what you want. And again, getting to wins and losses over a 162-game season, if you're doing it the right way, you're going to wind up in the postseason, hopefully making a run. I can't get to this point of where it's like, oh, they suck because of this. Now they need to sell everybody. Is this what we're going to do every year? I told you, I saw somebody criticizing Gunnar Henderson this weekend, saying he never gets big hits. Like, what does that even mean? We're going to go game by game?
Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing well.
Good, man.
Happy Monday.
Happy Same Monday to you.
Will the Orioles get injured starting pitchers back in time to save their season? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too.
You hope so. It sounds like some point in May we're getting something back. Eflin will be here. I think Eflin might be the first one. If you want to give McDermott a start, I think for a longer period of time, we'll see Kittredge and then followed up by Bradish at some point. I got a question to ask, though. Is it tacos today and tomorrow since today's Cinco de Mayo?
Yes. No, it's margaritas today.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to eat tacos, have at it. But I think.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going somewhere to get margaritas, I'm pretty sure there's going to be tacos on the menu.
Salsa. Chips and salsa, chips and queso, or chips and guac. Save your tacos for tomorrow. That's just how I live. I'm not saying that's what you got to do. Do what you want to do.
Ain't no such thing as too much tacos.
But I got to be honest with you, man. I mean, you know, picture me eating or drinking margaritas. I'm just giving suggestions. I ain't drinking.
Is your pinky going to be up?
No, see, what I'll do for Cinco de Mayo is the tequila. but I'm not. I don't do.
Are you gonna go? Were you gonna give me one?
I was not gonna do that.
What the hell, man?
Was not gonna do that.
Wow.
Jesus. Bring the mariachi band in.
Why not? See, the fact that we don't have one is lack of preparation by you, Joe.
Ah, that's right. Lack of I'm preparation. Sorry.
Daily Line fault. With Jeremy Kahn at 9. Glenn Clark joins us for a very, very interesting segment at 9:30. But on the other side, Mike Bordick, right here on the Fan. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, he is Mike Bordick. What's going on, Mike?
Rob Long, how are you, man?
Man, I cannot complain at all. Mike, listen, man, right now on Friday and Saturday, no offense. Even though they won Friday, they scored 3 runs. Sunday, they produced 6 runs, and they give up a gazillion. What can the Orioles fix first, in your opinion, consistently, hitting or pitching?
Oh, my gosh. Well, for me, it always comes back to the pitching. So once that gets resolved and some of these arms start getting healthy and back and they just have more options, so they're more flexible. I think, you know, you'll see a turnaround. I think a lot of times this young offense, they just put so much pressure on themselves that they feel like they have to overcome every night, like in the first inning. So it's pretty hard for an offense to respond. But I think when you see this team in games, man, they just come up with big hits, and it seems like they just compete better. You know, it's a better ball game, that's for sure, to watch. So, you know, pitching's got to be resolved, and I just feel like it's coming. It's pretty close, and that will really help kind of quell all this panic, and hopefully it'll lead to more consistent baseball.
Yeah, I guess I think the question would be, like, this team, it's the same people, same basic roster that, you know, was second in the American League in runs scored last year. What do you think the problem is? Because the pitching's obvious. They've been decimated with injuries. But the hitting, a lot of these guys are in the lineup on a regular basis, just not getting it done.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things. But first and foremost, just it's a young offense, you know. Mm-hmm. Man, it isn't until you get so many at-bats under your belt in the big leagues that you're finally able to settle in and just be more consistent. And some guys, they might not ever get that opportunity. They might be back at the minor leagues before that happens. So that said, you know, getting these younger bats in there more consistently, you know, I'm not a big fan of moving these young guys around and the order and all that, but I guess it's part of the game now. I'd like to see them just get more consistent at bats and let them settle in, because there's a grace period, man, for every guy. I don't care. If you're the we've seen 1-1s for the Orioles, and every guy struggles. It's just normal. It takes so long to adjust in the big leagues, and there are ups and downs. And I just think this is a young offense. We may have pulled the trigger too soon on thinking that they were going to be able to, hoist the trophy. I just think they need seasoning, and it'll happen. There's still, you know, a couple years before some of these guys get into free agency. So I like the fact that some of these young guys are getting there, you know, they're learning right there at the big leagues, and and more at bats they get, the better they're going to be. It's going to happen. This is going to be a strong offense. But a lot of things obviously have to settle down a little bit. And I think they're going to get better through the course of the year for sure.
Bordy, do you think it's settling down for Jackson now? Because he's looked really good, and it seems like he's starting to figure it out, not only offensively, but defensively as well.
Yeah, well, you know, that said, I still think there are going to be ups and downs with young players, mm-hmm. you know, because we've seen, you know, our best young players struggle. Adley, 1-1, I mean, thought he was just going to be the most consistent, you know, switch in and catcher, better than Weeders, hopefully, and things like that. And now he's battling. He's trying to find himself and find some consistency, and it'd be nice to see him get on the right track. But the ups and downs are going to happen with young players, and but for his sake, like, just the confidence, overall confidence, man, what I worry about are young guys getting beat down mentally, because this game will be relentless, and it won't let you up if you get down. He felt it last year, and some of these guys have. So for him to get off to a good start, it just goes a long, long way for his own confidence, and he can build off of that.
He is the co-host of Be More Baseball Podcast. Mike, tell us all about your podcast.
Yeah, podcast is going great. We've had some awesome guests. You know, a great segment is we've got the Orioles team doc. He was there for so long, Mike Jacobs, and he gives a lot of insight into a lot of the injuries. And, man, oh, man, the Orioles are decimated this year. So always fun to hear his insight there. And, of course, me and Jerry getting some good guests and ask some tough questions and having some fun. So look forward to getting some more subscribers and hitting like and entertaining more people. So thanks for bringing that up, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, all right, Mike. Guys. Have a great day.
You too. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Dundalk and get Wayne. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning. Good morning. How are you?
All right, going good, man. I was just thinking about it a weekend. I just wanted to talk about the Orioles real quick. Basically, kind of piggybacking off what Boring said was, as you know, going into the season, I was thinking that Henderson, all these guys were going to take off and we're going to be winning the World Series. But, at some point, we got to realize that they are young and they're going to have to learn how to play the game of baseball at the major league level. But something I did see yesterday, I'm like, man, can you imagine when Holiday and when Gunners really start taking off and you move Holiday up in the lineup, that middle infield is going to be awesome, man.
It's funny you say that because Jeremy was saying the same thing today during a break about Jackson Holiday.
I said to you at the beginning of the year, I think Jackson starts hitting and forces his way up towards the top of the lineup. And seeing him hit, what was it, 6 yesterday, and I understand the injuries and what happened, but he hits 2 bombs. He's going to force his way up there. He's that type of player to where, you know, you're not the number one prospect in baseball because they think you're going to do this. You look at what's been going on and you see those things. Doesn't mean that number one prospects don't fail, especially pitchers. But with his hitting form and the pedigree of his family, like it's you kind of look at it and go, this should work out. Even if he doesn't end up being the best second baseman in baseball or anything like that, he should still be a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
Wang's gone.
Oh, is he there?
Let's go to Columbia and get Jonathan. What's up, Jonathan?
Good morning, fellas. My question's about just comparing Mike Elias' time from Houston to here. Do you all see, one, any differences between how he's built the Orioles here versus what he did in Houston? And then, two, is there, as far as the timeline of when Houston became consistent and competitive in the postseason, are we kind of in the trajectory of that or behind or ahead?
I'd say they were ahead of schedule, but here's the thing with Houston, and you're going back and looking at it, they were better off, even though they had 100 lost seasons. When you look at what the Orioles were going through for that period of time, Houston had guys that were ready to come up and play. Yeah. They needed to build around them. The Orioles have those players here now, and now it's a matter of building around them. Last year in the Houston system, when you look at what they did, that's when they traded for Justin Verlander. And ironically, the Orioles traded for Burns, and we thought maybe that was the same thing.
Two answers to that, though. I mean, Michael Elias, number one, was not the GM.
No, he was a part of it.
Number two, he didn't join to 2012. They didn't win the World Series in 2017. They had 200 loss seasons. They went then 70 and 92, then 86. So the trajectory is about the same.
Can I tell you what the difference was? Is that Houston was involved in the international market and we weren't.
And we weren't, yeah. So
look at the play. Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve. They drafted Correa. Look at the players they have on their team.
And also, I've been in the Oriole dugout many times, both on the road and home, and I haven't seen it.
Seen what?
Trash cans.
Oh, well,
I haven't seen them. So, I mean, that's a thing, too.
That's because we recycle.
They're doing it. We haven't seen that, so we're good. It might take a little longer.
I mean, if we
Michael Elias didn't have anything to do with that, so he didn't bring it here.
If we are cheating, we're not doing it well. That's for sure.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Last, I ain't anything to do with that. Glenn Clark at 9:30, but on the other side is the Daily Line with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, most people won't admit this. I had, Friday and Saturday, I went 0 for 5, 0 for 5. In my top plays. I don't think it's ever happened to me before. Maybe it has, and I don't remember it, or I'd like to forget it. But on Saturday, I had absolutely the worst beat of my life. And then Sunday happened, and it wasn't as bad as Saturday, but it brought those memories back, which wasn't fun at all. I'll tell you what those games were and give you the best play for today. That's coming up in the Daily Line.